You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down. I'm going to a place that has already been disgraced. I'm going to see some folks who have already been let down. I'm so tired of America. I'm gonna make it up for all of the Sunday times. I'm gonna make it up for all of the nursery rhymes. They never really seem to want to tell the truth. I'm so tired of you, America, making my own way home. Ain't gonna be alone. I've got a life to live. America, I've got a life to live. Tell me, do you really think you go to hell for having love? Tell me you're not thinking everything that you've done is a good. I really need to know, after soaking the body of Jesus Christ in blood, I'm so tired of you, America. Never see you again, though I might as well. You took advantage of a world that loved you well. I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down. I'm so tired of you, America.
Welcome back to the second hour of Perspectives on America Tonight. I'm a little shocked tonight. My Tuesday night producer, Julie, has chosen some of the most amazing pieces of music to play on this program tonight. Given what we've spoken of during the last hour and much of it, for her to choose this phenomenal piece by George Michael, I'm So Tired of You, America, is profound. I thank you for it. It puts me in a different mindset in so many respects. Some of the things we spoke about earlier tonight, I think uncomfortably allows us or forces us to face issues that we don't wish to do, don't wish to face. It's reality, however. As we concluded the first hour, we talked a bit about my not understanding what has happened to our audience. Those of you who were very strong supporters with the acquisitions of gold and silver, I can't believe that all of a sudden, after all these years, that everybody's dried up and said we've got all we need. I began to realize some things last week, however, that there's a phone number I had for many, many years that people would use. That's how they would get a hold of me. And I began to realize that phone number no longer exists. I went through too many years of nothing but trouble with our whatever the stupid Bell phone company was called for years, and the thing never worked half the time. And they had to come out and dig up and do new cables, and the whole thing was a joke. And I wound up moving it. And unfortunately, moving it didn't help, because the place I moved, that same existing phone number didn't do what it was supposed to do. It wasn't forwarding people. They could leave voicemails, and I couldn't get back into it. And the thing was just a nightmare. I finally just said, that's it. I'm shutting it down. So there's a good number of people that may have old email addresses. They may have old phone numbers. Maybe they died. Maybe they just said, it's time to hang it up. We can't listen anymore, because we can't be affected by the truth and the reality that's going on in this country. But we're here. And I'll be here. I want to take a short few minutes. I originally planned on sharing this entire written piece that I've been sitting in my files for many, 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 many years. And I came across it recently. And I'm going to share just a portion of it. It's entitled Paper Gold. History. The United States prospered like no other nation in history until December 23rd, 1913. Why? Because we had a Congress statesman who adhered to our Constitution as laid down by those men who founded the nation, principally with regard to the nation's monetary system, as stipulated in Article 1, Section B, Paragraph 5. Now, if you've got a copy of the Constitution around, open it up, read it, read what it says. Congress shall have power to coin money, regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures, end of quote. Now, the next clause in the same Section B of the Constitution says that Congress has the power to punish counterfeiters. Congress has the power to punish counterfeiters. What the hell happened? Well, a traitorous Congress, led principally by Senator Nelson Aldrich of New York, kin of the Rockefeller clan, by the way, and one Carter Glass, senator from Virginia, unconstitutionally, because this act constituted an illegal amendment of the Constitution, snuck through Congress just 2 days before Christmas in 1913, when many in that body had already gone home from the holidays. They came up with this thing called the Federal Reserve Act. Now, the Federal Reserve Act gave the power to coin our money to the Federal Reserve Banks, a system owned and operated not by the United States government, as many have been led to believe, but by a group of private Rothschild and affiliated bankers sent here from Europe, sent here for the express purpose of gaining control of this nation's money system, just as they had done in every nation in Europe, with the exception of Tsarist Russia up to that time. And they involved that continent in war after war. So now they got this guy named Paul Warburg, member of the banking firm of Kuhn, Loeb & Company, sent here from Hamburg, Germany. Warburg was the chief engineer and spokesman for the deal, and after its consummation was appointed the first governor of the Federal Reserve Board. Now, many loyal congressmen and prominent people fought this bill on the floor of Congress. Congressman Lindbergh of Minnesota, one of the most vocal, said, quote, "This act establishes the most gigantic trust on earth. When the president signs the bill, the invisible government by the monetary power will be legalized And he continues by saying, the people may not know it immediately, but the day of reckoning is only a few years removed. The people must make a declaration of independence to relieve themselves from the monetary power. This they will be able to do by taking control of Congress. The division of Congress into political parties is a crime. End of quote. So, just a couple days later, President Woodrow Wilson signed the bill into law. For my friends, since that date, this nation has been going downhill. Involvement in two world wars, one so-called police action, a world government war with no end in sight. Congressman Lindsberg's prophecy has been fulfilled. The day of reckoning has arrived. The people have not made a declaration of independence.
Sounds glitchy.
Okay, we got to reconnect.
Stick around.
I don't know what seems to happen.
We're in the second hour, huh?
Okay.
Let's cut off.
Right back. Stay. Now I have to begin to ask myself the question, is my equipment going haywire during the second hour? Maybe I'm wearing this stuff out. It's kind of crazy. Is that my friend Michael letting me know that the sound got crappy? Oh, he says the sound's good now. That's weird. Well, back to our story about Woody Wilson. Now there's a guy named William McChesney Martin, chairman of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, testified before the 1957 Senate Finance Investigating Committee, quote, the only right government has is the right of repeal. The government also has the right to purchase the capital stock from the 12 Federal Reserve banks. The state legislatures also have the right to demand Congress to repeal and or purchase. The people also have the right to declare the unconstitutionality of the Federal Reserve Act through the courts. This story is going to continue, but not today. At least I don't think so. Who knows? Let's go down a different direction. A piece that I've been sitting on for a good number of years that I have taken and modified slightly. Something I published today, and I'd forgotten that I even had it. And I came across it, and I began to read it. There were some things in it that offended me. Because I know better. So I've altered it. June 28th, 1995. I began working with a guy named Robbie Noel at a company called Viking International Trading Company. Now, understand, sometime in, I think, 1990 or 1991, I began working for a company called Swiss America. And it was touted as a highly Christian firm. There were probably 40 brokers on the floor. We understood that we were independent contractors. We were not employees of the company. Except for one thing, you better show up for that 8 o'clock meeting every single morning or you would not get phone calls from prospective clients, which theoretically made you an employee. After working at Swiss for a couple of years, I was not overjoyed. People who tended to spend the greatest amount of money were always geared to the same five or six brokers. Now, I wasn't complaining because I was comfortable. I was doing fine. I took people down different paths. Not as far as I would take people later in areas that I knew were better suited for them. The day came that the company was suing a former broker who worked at Swiss, a tremendously gifted man whose wife also happened to work at the company. And I can't remember the reason for the lawsuit, but Swiss called in one of their two attorneys. They had two different attorneys. They would use a specific attorney to take care of certain things for them, and they would go to the other attorney for other things. They were each hand-selected to serve particular purposes. So the attorney that was going to be handling this lawsuit for so-called violation of independent contractor, you had contact with our clients. Well, the attorney sat there on a Friday talking to some of we newer and younger, please, saying, okay, here's the questions I'm going to ask in court. And we were expected to be in court and withstanding and standing up for Swiss. And here's how I expect you to answer the questions. The way he's expecting us to answer would have been outright lies. I wouldn't tolerate it. The meeting was over. I got up. I walked to my desk. I packed up my stuff and went to the so-called sales manager and said, that's it. Hasta la bye-bye. That following Monday and Tuesday became very interesting for me at home. My phone started ringing off the hook. Apparently, some of the sleazy brokers, they weren't all that way, but there were a few. Some of the sleazy brokers have been given some of my clients' names and phone numbers. And the sleazy broker called up and said, well, gee, you know, Jeff has left us, but he is big concern about you and had handpicked some things for you to consider, blah, 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 blah. And started putting the pressure on these folks. And each one said, I'll get back with you. Seven or eight of them called me over the next couple of days and made it very plain and clear they had no intention of dealing with that mentality that if they continue to do business, they'd prefer to do it with me. And some did. One gentleman who had recently acquired a very scarce, high-grade, late 1800s half dollar that was like in proof 67 condition wanted me to go ahead and find him a complete dated set. He wanted everything, the silver, the copper, the gold, everything. Wanted me to do it. Took me a year to do it. Well, Swiss sued me. Only problem is every one of the clients that had chosen to come to me said in letters that were notarized, signed by their attorneys, that I had never contacted them and attempted to sell them anything. Because they trusted me, they contacted me and asked me to represent them and fulfill their needs. Judge threw the Swiss's case against me out of court. Well, after having left Swiss, I went to work for another company whose name I cannot remember. Everybody who worked at this company was a former employee of Swiss Americas, including the owner of the company, independent contractor. And it was a whole different operation, clean, above board, no nothing hidden masses. I wound up introducing the mentality of international fractional gold coins, Swiss francs, Italian, British, occasionally some Russian when it was available. Greek, South American stuff. It was amazing. People got a lot more gold for their money by buying that stuff, and every bit of it was recognizable all over the world. You could go into any coin shop, any pawn shop, and liquidate if you had to. Well, Swiss francs and British sovereigns are probably the most recognizable for reasons we've discussed on this program in the past. The owner of the company decided to sell the company out about a year, year and a half later. I didn't care for the guy who was going to sell to. I'd had one conversation with him once before, and I didn't like him. So I left. And I went to work at Viking. That's where I met Robbie. And Eric Cedarstrom. Eventually his sister. Some other folks. But things went a little haywire in that company eventually. And early 1996, they wound up closing down. And I made the decision to start my own company. Moved my studio to my home. Dealt with many, many people that I dealt with at Viking. And things went on. You do that for this many years, you get to know some things. Now, keep in mind that I was 10 years old when I sat in a bank vault in Wisconsin and began to handpick silver dollars out of a bag of peace dollars with my grandfather, putting rolls of 20 coins together. We're looking for condition. We're looking for dates, the whole nine yards. 2 years later, I bought two roughly one-quarter ounce German 20-mark pieces, gold. I've never looked back. The relationship working with Viking was interesting. I actually had an email today with a guy that thought he and I had known each other for 20 years. I said, no, pal, we go back to 1995. He says, crap, you got to be kidding me. And I remembered him. I reminded him how we met. And he says, oh, my God, I'd forgotten that. You know, you don't stay in business by shafting people. You take care of people. Occasionally there's misunderstandings. You get it cared for. But I share all this with you because of this piece that I've been sitting on for all these years and made some interesting rewrites and comments. It's published at Sierra Madre right now. It's called Precious Metals, The Best Way to Buy. And a lot of this is going to include secrets that precious metals and so-called rare coin dealers don't want you to know. Because it seems like everywhere you go, people are talking about gold and silver. Why would people care so damn much about what other people call a barbaric relic? Well, let's take things back historically. Gold and silver are the only money used in the Bible. 6,000-year history. Worldwide, gold and or silver have been the foundation of every successful economy. And nations that adopted fiat currency, like ours, paper money backed by nothing, but enforced by the government, have ultimately failed people. In fact, the lifespan of fiat currencies internationally has been an average of just 37 years. But closer to home, our founding fathers set gold and silver as the only constitutional money. It took what many consider to be unconstitutional government action to change those provisions of the Constitution. Which I guess in a roundabout way is something I just kind of shared with you a few minutes ago. Now let's talk about safety. This thing called the gold index is often referred to as the fear index. When wars and rumors of wars arise, people dump their paper money in favor of gold because it's been a safe store of value for thousands of years. Still one of the rarest elements on earth, the only one to be universally accepted as money. Now, silver is not nearly as rare as gold, but it also falls into that same category. I guess we could say gold's the king and silver's the prince. But in addition to their monetary value, both have decorative value, like in jewelry and vases and industrial uses. But as the television commercials say, unlike any other asset class, gold has never gone to zero. That's one of the simple things to remember. Now, gold and to a lesser degree, silver have done an admirable job throughout history of protecting personal assets against the cancer of inflation. Most countries have experienced hyperinflation at some time. All nations have experienced some degrees of inflation. All. Unreal. Got to get that word out. An interesting fact is, an ounce of gold or silver, my friends, has bought roughly the same amount of food, clothing, labor, materials, and shelter for over 3,000 years. And that's because governments always bend to the temptation of issuing more and more money to buy more votes and influence. Duh! I could give you examples of France, 1789. They issued a fiat paper currency called the assignat, which was backed by nothing, just like our Federal Reserve note. Then they made all sorts of promises, and this would only be printed, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, please skip it. I need every bit of this time. I'm not going to bore you with the whole story of France because it's happened in every country. But in France's case, they issued 10,000% more than the law allowed. And of course, the inflation of the money supply caused its value to drop even more. Rioting in the streets of Paris, the paper money became so worthless that merchants wouldn't even accept it. They would only accept gold or silver coins. And the government passed a legal tender law requiring merchants to accept the worthless money, with the penalty for refusal being death, believe it or not. And even that draconian measure didn't work. So government officials broke the printing plates in the public square and announced a wonderful new currency called the mandat. And of course, the mandat failed, but it only took 2 years. And Napoleon insisted on a return to real money, gold and silver coin. And the French economy eventually returned to sanity. So I want you to think about some things as relates to gold, silver. Your first decision is not between gold and silver, as many think. Both are precious metals. Both should have their place in your holdings. But don't think that one is better than the other because it's cheaper. Silver and gold both cost the same. $1,000 worth of silver costs the same as $1,000 worth of gold. Think about it this way. Which is cheaper? A $100 bill or 100 $1 bills? The cost is the same. Well, yeah, silver is cheaper by the ounce, but that should not be the deciding factor. Your precious metal strategy, my friends, is the most important consideration when deciding whether to buy gold, silver, or both. Of course, one of the other considerations is whether you can afford to buy one as opposed to the other. But keep in mind, gold is far more rare, so it naturally is going to cost more per ounce. but a very wise strategy will include both precious metals. And what I'm going to do is share with you the types of metals to consider in order of their desirability as, I hate the term, investment, but most importantly, their ability to protect your family in case of a financial disaster. Now, I love the word bullion. Not to be confused with those other words that I like using on the broadcast all the time. You know, bull, blah, 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 blah. Avoid novelty coins. A good idea of a novelty coin. I go on this website every day because of particular bits of information they get, and they've got all these 1 ounce silver and gold coins with Trump's head on it. Sorry, it's a novelty coin. I'm not paying that extra money to help fund somebody's campaigns or whatever the heck they're doing. Then there's this mentality that sophisticated buyers only want government-issued metals, so your chances of selling these kinds of coins at a decent price in the future are very small. Don't get bullion coins. Let me tell you what. I wouldn't buy American Eagle silver coins today because the price is so inflated over a newly minted, recognizable 1 ounce bullion silver coin or gold coin. It's insane. There are those who will recommend that we buy government minted coins that have been circulated. Since they've been used as money, they will exhibit wear and scratches. Now, the best example of these silver are U.S. dimes, quarters and half dollars, and silver dollars minted prior to 1965. When there were 90% silver and 10% copper. After that, our government began counterfeiting its own coins. Yeah, we had 3 years of 40% silver coins, which up until a couple of months ago, I was getting change almost every day. And I've got a whole bucket full of 40% silver. I'm going to get rid of it. But our so-called silver coins today, yeah, they're made out of copper. Or maybe not, because the cost of copper is on a big rise. But they make it look like they're copper, and they got a very thin plating that make them appear to be silver, but they're not. Now, here's the one that I can't stomach. Now, we go to gold. There are those who strongly recommend pre-1933 U.S. gold coins. Oh, they were first produced in 1795, but most of the coins that are available today are much, much younger. Millions of them were produced. One, two and a half, three, four, five, ten, $20 gold pieces. The most common, therefore the least expensive, are the five, ten, and twenties. But buyer beware, because in many and most instances, if those are the coins that a dealer is offering you, keep in mind the lies come with the pitch. Now, there are many folks who choose to buy modern gold bullion coins, American Eagles, Maple Leafs, South African Krugerrands, Vienna Philharmonics, Australian Kangaroos, etc. But the typical sales pitch that you're going to get is that the pre-1933 U.S. gold coins are preferable because they are scarcer. I'm not buying them because of scarcity. And here's why. Contrary to what most of these people will tell you, if we face tough economic times, all I care about is what someone's going to give me in trade for the gold coin. Oh, but these old $20 gold pieces are worth more money because I paid more for them. Guess what? They've only got 0.92% of gold in them, whatever the case may be. That's all they're going to give you for them. Now, up to this point, we've only discussed so-called bullion precious metals. Oh, yeah, bullion includes gold and silver, whether in a bar or a coin form. Their only value is the metal. And that's why you should purchase them. because most sell for only a small premium over spot, the published price of gold. And the important principle is that bullion is the best as insurance for protection against inflation. We're not facing the same kind of times we faced in the past, my friends. I'm not saying that these coins aren't beautiful. I'm not saying that at present time that they don't have greater value. They do. For how long? Who knows? Since the U.S. dollar was taken off the gold standard by our government, our dollar has lost 96% of its value. That's the dollar. And that means the 5, the 10, the 20, the 50, the 100, etc., etc. It means a $1 bill is worth between 2 and 4 cents of its purchasing power of 120, 130 years ago. And yet during all that time, gold and silver prices have risen in concert with the decline of the dollar. That doesn't mean the precious metals have risen in real value. It simply means that as the dollar has lost its value, it now takes more dollars to buy the same amount of precious metals, which can easily be demonstrated by the fact that 1 ounce of gold, a single ounce of gold, has bought a very fine suit of men's clothing for over 3,000 years. And that is a quote directly out of Forbes magazine from 1998. So keep some things in mind. When you buy gold, the gold spot price affects your bottom line. When you buy gold bullion, the gold spot price is the base price of gold in its unfabricated form. And that price is important because it affects your bottom line. When you're buying a 1 ounce gold bar, the higher the spot price, the higher premium you're going to pay. When you buy gold bars and other precious metals, the premium price includes the cost of fabrication, distribution, very minor dealer fees, and any numismatic or collector value. Right now, I'm not interested in buying numismatic and collector stuff. It's that simple. Now look, when you're buying gold bars, you typically pay a slightly higher premium for smaller bars, but often those smaller bullion products are popular with people who have a tight budget. Perfect example. And you don't hear me shutting up about it very often. The Balcombe Combi Bars. It's a 1 ounce gold bar that includes 10 one-tenth ounce breakable bars. They all break off that one-tenth piece. They're clean. They're clear. Yeah, they can cost slightly more than a regular 1 ounce bar of gold, but you are in control. Because you can take it and break it. If you take a look at the pictures, and we've got them posted on the website, comes in a sealed plastic holder. You can open it up. You can take it out. You can snap a one-tenth out, and they break off clean. They don't leave powder. They don't leave breakable little pieces, nothing. Puts you in control. The day may well come that the value of gold might be $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. But all you need is the $1,000 or $1,500 worth of value. Guess what? How are you going to get change for a 1 ounce gold piece or 1 ounce gold coin? I like having the 1/10 ounce pieces. Puts me in a better barter and trade position. Think about that. You know, I haven't looked at the cost of a Balcombe today. I just sold some to a client the other day. Let's take a look and see what we did. Come on, let's open up here. It's a regular listener to the network. And come on, open up, you turkey. He picked up four of the 1x10 by 1/10 ounce gold Bell combi bars. $2,260. Okay. Now, what is spot right now as we speak? Spot gold. As we speak, $2,030.95. That's spot. Well, you can buy gold at $2,030.95 on Wall Street. $2,030.95 per share of gold. But you ain't never going to get no damn delivery of it. So our client paid $2,260 based on where spot gold was at that time, which was $2,024 an ounce. Right now it's sitting at $2,030.95. The fact of the matter is each one of those 10th-ounce bars is clearly marked with its weight, its purity, which, by the way, is 4/9 fine. There's things that one can do. Puts you in control. But like Howard says, but you got to give us a call so we can do our best to get you cared for. Gold, silver, whatever you want, we can deliver. Now, having said all that, no, this is not the only gold that I can acquire for you. You want some Swiss francs? You want some British sovereigns? I read a headline this morning. Something is going on in Switzerland right now that may affect them economically. I've got to go back and read the article later. Did not have time today. Oh, and as I mentioned about the Valcombi breakable bars, the ones that break into 1/10 ounce pieces, if you were to go out right now and make a decision to purchase 1/10 ounce gold American Eagles. Now think about this. What did we just say? What this guy pay? $2,260 something? I can't remember what it was. Let's see if I can pop this out again. Hold on. This is kind of important to see and to read, to understand. This is... Come on. Open. He paid $2,260. That means, theoretically, $226 per 1/10 of an ounce. Think about it. Now let's go take a look and see what 1/10 ounce American Eagles are going for right now. This could be interesting as can be. I'll go with one of the companies that, and this may not be the only one, but it's American Eagles. What were you got? American Eagles. Here we go. 1/10 ounce. Oh, geez. What did I quote you? $226 per 1/10 ounce. Here's a company. Their lowest price is $285 each if you buy 500 of them. Otherwise, you're talking $229. Now, let's see. We can pop over here. We don't care about the certified ones. Let's take a look at, same thing. For brand new 2024s, 1/10 ounce American Eagles in PU, they want $291 per 1/10 ounce. They're not worth that much more money. Not when I just quoted you the fact that you're paying $226 per 1/10 ounce by buying the Valcombi. Oh, and by the way, the Valcombi is 4/9 fine. The Eagle's not. Not that that matters. No, it doesn't matter because The eagle is minted with a certain percentage of copper and a certain percentage of silver. Interesting stuff. 226 per tenth ounce versus $291 for a tenth ounce. And that's if you're just buying 50 or less. $291 each. Use some common sense, people. Just because it's American doesn't mean squat. One of the reasons they're able to jack the price up is because the U.S. Mint just says, oops, we're not going to be minting as much anymore. Now, understand, if you go to CatamaranPreciousMetals.com, there is a section, there's a banner going horizontally that's showing gold jewelry and gold coins. And right below it, there's five or six different choices you can click on. Home, invitation to welcome, about us, and FAQs. By the way, the FAQs are interesting. A section called Why Gold has got a series of pieces that have been published over the years. On the air, and then contact us. The one that becomes interesting is to just hold your mouse over the one that says SM Asset Vault. Got one section I haven't updated in years called the Combi Bar Vault, the Gold Bullion Vault, the American Vault, the International Vault, the Silver Bullion Vault, the Copy Vault, and the Platinum Vault. I haven't done much with copper because, frankly, I haven't been able to get it in quite a while. Not at an affordable price. The American Vault typically is dealing with, you know, the pre-33 certified and non-certified $5, $10, $20 gold pieces, et cetera, et cetera. But just to kind of go down through some of those and take a look at the International Vault, see some of the options that they've made. I don't have prices in there. We've got this kind of stuff up here as a general knowledge factor just to look at. In fact, I even say on the site, what we share with you below are examples of the most commonly purchased international fractional gold coins. Coins which are purchased primarily for the value of their metallic content rather than for numismatic rarity. Most coins are available at lower cost than their modern bullion counterparts. Kettle Moraine is proud to have access to one of the widest selections of international coins and would be happy to fulfill your needs beyond the scope of what is displayed within that gallery. But at least you can take a look at it and see what some of the options are. I also included two paragraphs of a story we shared with you some 6-7 months ago called The Legend of Jacques Dupré. At the end of World War I in the year 1918, this is something to think about. Frenchman Jacques Dupré inherited the equivalent of $325,000 American dollars and used his inheritance wisely by converting it all into French 20-franc gold coins. And each day for the rest of his life, Dupré spent the total sum of one gold coin to meet his needs: food, clothing, shelter, entertainment, and medical. Some years after his acquisition, French tax authorities performed the first of what would be many audits on Dupré. The authorities could discover no means of income, no bank accounts, no visible assets, and yet their victim, the innocent Monsieur Dupré, obviously lived quite comfortably in his modest Paris apartment. Well, I'll crash the story a little bit. Some years later, when he died, he had spent approximately one half of his original investment. The balance of it, which he left to his heirs, was worth considerably more than he had paid. Those that remained were were then worth in excess of $2 million. It's simple. Don't wait to buy gold. Buy gold and wait. We certainly invite you to... I've got some updating to do. I just noticed that I invite you to tune in to experience my 28, 29 years of broadcasting with this program, The Edge of Darkness, which we've gone back to the old name, each Monday through Friday on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, I'm not doing Monday and Friday. Blah, 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 blah. So I've got some updating to do there. That's not the important point, okay? Use the common sense. There are reasons. Don't wait to buy gold. Buy gold and wait. Buy silver and wait. And by the way, the gentleman that I had breakfast with this morning at 5:30 in the morning, personal client of mine, goes back almost a quarter of a century. He's a brother of the secretary that we had at Viking International Trading. And I delivered to him 1,000 newly minted 1 ounce silver rounds. Because of my health conditions, I could not carry them up his stairs. I would have gone through pure hell just carrying one box. He picked up both boxes and carried them up there. It is interesting to me, and because I get a lot of people that will buy silver. You know, somebody buying 1, 2, 5 rolls, something like that's one thing. One of the biggest problems you have with silver is its weight is outrageous. I'm told that each one of those boxes weighed about 35 pounds. I'm telling you something. I had to only move one box at a time last night to get them in the car, to get them ready for this early morning visit. I went through pure hell to hold those. And because of it, I wound up probably stressing my gut overnight. It was a lot of pain all day. It's, if you wind up in an emergency situation, you've got to get up and move. I've shared with you the story about my clients years ago in New Orleans who were told to evacuate because of Hurricane Katrina. He had purchased gold bars from me, 100-ounce bars, some sizable amounts of silver. But I talked the guy into buying some British sovereigns. He bought a couple rolls. Means he had about 80 of them. But he and his wife had two very young children. They had to leave New Orleans, and they headed up to Atlanta to live with his sister until things calmed down and they were able to get back home. They took the gold. As needed, they were able to cash in pieces of gold to provide for their babies and themselves. When they got back home, all the silver had just miraculously disappeared. Of course, they were told, well, you know, it must have washed out into the ocean. Yeah, right. These are things to consider. If you're getting older and you've got to get up and go. I mean, think about the horrendous weather circumstances we've seen taking place in this country with snows and cars going off into lakes, into rivers and floods wiping people out and snows and everything else. If you got to get up and grab something of value so you can survive, I'm not telling you not to buy silver. But don't buy as much. If you're talking physical, put 70 to 80% in gold because it's portable. You can stick it in your pockets. Silver's going to weigh you down. Keep those things in mind. Now, we reach the end of our time. I have to share with you, for God knows what reason, because I've had exactly 1 hour sleep last night. I've not slept since. I had an extremely good breakfast this morning. a better lunch with two of my friends. Came over to the house. I ordered a couple of pieces. And this is one of the calmest broadcasts I've done in a long time. I hope I had not bored you to death. Was it a sales pitch? That's for you to decide. Teaching you things that you need to understand so you understand the pros and cons. If you have an interest, you want to inquire into acquisition of gold, silver, you want to add to what you've got, you want to trade some of what you've got and convert it to something else, give me a call. 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me. If you go to the website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com, lower right-hand column is our email, KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net. You can always shoot me an email. Any questions? You want to talk? You just want to go back and forth on emails for a while? We can do that, too. Doesn't offend me. I don't dial for dollars. I don't pick up the phone and start hammering people to buy, buy, buy. But for those of you who do listen, make a decision to conduct business with us, as most of you know, a percentage of the so-called profits that we take in goes right back to RBN. I've done it for a lot of years. And we'll continue to do it. Because I believe in keeping this network going and moving forward and reaching out to the right people with the right message. And I don't care what network you go to, there's always a few people that are not putting out the right message. I don't bring up names. It wasn't turned off. Okay, let's shut her down. I never left. Take care of yourself. I'll see you folks tomorrow night. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
The days of the open hand, we will not be the last. Look around.
Money, so they say, is the root of all evil today.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. cows, too.
Ease Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.